Blog Talk Radio.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. Back my picks up edition, gentlemen. And now, the starting lineup for your top 10 MMA podcast. Back my picks up. At forward, from Maryland, at 6 feet, the man with the New York state of mind, Lerone.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy. Next kick in MMA, your boy Lerone from Maryland, by way of New York. What's going on, y'all?
And the man in the middle, from Canada, at 6'4", the Maple Leaf himself, Grotius.
Good evening, gentlemen.
A 5'10 guard from Waco, Texas, Marco from Waco.
Marco from Waco, ¿qué pasa, todos?
And me, gentlemen, I'm the DJ, not in the PJs. DJ Tony. Gentlemen, here we go. Smack my picked up. I had to do it for those that remember that song, guys. That's right. We're talking Michael Jordan and number 23. That was the edition that I missed out on. So sorry that I was ill, guys, but I was at RFA. I got tired, guys, driving 4 hours each way minimum. It was a long 2 days, guys. I loved being at RFA. It was great to represent being there in as media. It was fantastic, guys. You know, great seats. No one was able to see me because I was right next to the I don't know what you call that arm that literally pivots that gets the entire arena. But I was right behind
the boom arm.
The boom arm, and I was right behind. Well, boom is audio, but I was right behind the ring girls, and that sucks. You figure if anyone's gonna look, you're gonna look at the ring. Well, the ring girls weren't that impressive, to be honest with you guys. But all right, here we go, guys. UFC on Fox, Maya versus Condit, guys. We start off in the middleweight, the preliminary card, Fox. Smiling Sam Alvey. Boy, aren't you ready for that haircut, guys? 30 years old at 27-8-1, 3-2 in his last five, including losses, by the way, to the Spartan, Elias, Theodora, Derek Brunson. But he has won, believe it or not, a performance of the night. I was actually, I didn't know that he had won a performance of the night ever, guys. And
wow.
Yeah, Kevin Casey, 35 years old. I don't know much about him, guys. I do remember that he was a member of the Tough House, right? 9-4-2. He was part of Jones versus Sonnen, so I do remember that, guys. He's 1-1, 2 no contests, and a draw in the last five. He is known, by the way, guys, for beating RFA's very own Andrew Sanchez, and he was an RFA. So we start off at the top. Marco, what you got?
So this fight for me, man, is just a showcase entertaining fight. You know, we know Sam Alvey, former MSC champion up there, up north there, produce. Yeah, you know the deal. This guy is a heavy puncher. You know, that's all we want to see from Sam Alvey, a heavy, heavy puncher. And I see Kevin Casey, you know, related to the Ali family, by the way, is married to one of Muhammad Ali's daughters. He's not for his submissions. Yeah, that one fight that he got the draw with Mutashet, he dedicated it to Muhammad Ali. It was the same week Muhammad Ali died. But that notwithstanding, I think this is Sam Alvey all day. Kevin Casey is known for having a very short gas tank, and you know, if he doesn't get his weight on the ground on the very first round, he gasses really bad. Sam Alvey is a guy that is extremely difficult to take down, and he packs a heavy, 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 heavy punch. What I see is a imploding fight on the first round. Kevin Casey trying to take Sam Alvey down on the second round. Sam Alvey smiling all the way is going to knock Kevin Casey out, and then he's going to kiss his supermodel wife.
Lerone, what you got?
All right, man. Yeah, this fight here, man. Oh, man. Both these guys, man, they both pack power. They could be a good brawl, a barn burner, lock them, stock them, robots. I'm not sure who's the favorite. Believe it or not, Kevin Casey, he's a submission expert. And a lot of his fights, you know, we even see, like you said, losses, draws, a win, loss, win, loss. Not against anybody, you know, too up there in the ranks. You know, he's kind of, you know, just skating above a 500 fighter. It could go either way, but I might have to give it to Alvey. He has a little bit more cage experience. 27 fights. Your boy Casey got a little bit over 10. I would probably have to give it to Sam, man, but it depends on how he goes in there and, you know, keep his chin tucked. And now Casey could probably knock him out, but I'm going to have to probably go with Sam on that.
I do agree that it's going to be a slugfest, that's for sure. Both these guys have power in their hands. It's just about who's going to catch whose chin first in this one, I think. And I think that's why they've placed it in this particular area in order to get a big pop going into the main card. And I'm going to go against my two previous co-hosts, and I'm going to take Casey, first round KO.
Wow.
Wow, the distinction amongst the ranks. You know what, guys? I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know, by the way, that Casey was part of the Ali family. I know that he was in Strikeforce. I know that. And he's been around for a long time, guys. You know, at 35 years young, he's not bad. But, you know, people forget because I agree it's probably going to be Rock'em Sock'em Robots. But he has a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So that's
what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, that I'm really surprised. And Marco's right. I just looked it up. He's married to Hannah Ali. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm looking at his last, let's just say, if you look at his last seven, right? TKO,
yeah.
Right? TKO. No contest because it was overturned, right? But originally it was a knockout for Casey, right? Then a decision, right? Then a no contest accidental eye poke. So we don't know what would have happened there, right? Then a TKO,
yeah.
Then the draw, the split, right? I see it like Proteus does it, guys. I think Kevin Casey, the one thing about Smiling Sam is he's either all in or he's not all in. I think, and everyone
said
there's no such thing as due for a loss. I was looking at Sam Alvey's record at 3-2, guys. I'm kind of surprised that he's 3-2. I'm really surprised that he gave the Spartan, Lias Theodora, his first loss of his career. And again,
yeah.
If you look at him, he's submission, right? Great guillotine choke the last time, right? McDonald versus Lineker. Didn't see that happening. Then decision versus Theodora, a TKO, right? A loss to Brunson. Then he won TKO, Kelly KO Ferreira. I think Smiling Sam, unfortunately, gets TKO by Casey. I got it for Casey, and I'm going second round for Casey.
Hey, I'm
wow.
Not surprised, motherfuckers.
Hey,
2-2. Yeah.
But just because you pick against your Canadian brethren, you get your Canadian card revoked.
And you know what, Matt? Not to cut in. I'm gonna have to switch my pick, man.
I flip flop.
You are locked in, brother.
I flip flop.
All right.
I mean, it's looking a fucking smile on my face, ear to ear, baby.
Go
Tony,
ahead.
You're allowed to flip flop. Lerone is not allowed to flip flop yet.
Sure he is.
I'll own it. I got Sam. I'll own it.
Tony has done it again.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
No, are you switching, Lerone, or are you keeping it?
I'll keep it.
All right. Guys, we move up to the lightweight division we go. The fight of another unranked fighters, guys. Doe Lazan, 32, 26, 11, and 4. By the way, a brown belt under Ricky Lindell. I didn't know that. Jay Lau is 3-2 in his last five. So this is basically, guys, and no other way around it, right? Lazan Miller, too, right? The first one going to Miller via decision. Jim Miller, 32 years, also almost identical records, guys. 26-8-1, black belt in BJJ under Cruz. Jersey-born Miller, guys, is the younger brother of Dan Miller. He's 3-2 in his last five. We start off with Waco. Marco, what you got?
Okay, this is probably one of the most fun fights of this whole night. Joe Lawson looked fantastic against Diego Sanchez on his last outing. But then again, his version of Diego Sanchez, that is on his down slide of his career. As much as I like Joe Lawson, he is a fantastic action fighter. He collects bonuses like there is no tomorrow. I mean, I see he got, of all the bonuses he has collected, over like $100,000 in bonuses, it's a ridiculous number. But Joe Lawson has been very inconsistent in his career. He's always win one, lose one, win two, lose one, win one, lose one. At one point, we talk about Jim Miller being a contender. Jim Miller was on the cusp of getting a title shot, and of course, then he went on a little skid. Jim Miller beat Lawson before, and I expect the same result again. Jim Miller already got the blueprint to beat Lawson. He has felt the man before. He knows the fighting style. He know what to expect, and that you cannot buy that kind of confidence. They're both coming from a winning. You know, Jim just beat Takanori Gomi. And it is a choke, his fights. They're putting two guys that have been, you know, biggest stamps of the lightweight division. People know them. They know Joe Lawson is a fan fighter. They know Jim Miller is a fan fighter. But I don't think Joe is going to have what it takes to beat Jim Miller. It's going to be a greedy three-round affair decision for Jim Miller.
And you guys know that Joe Lau is favored. So way to go, Marco. Putting it in on the line. We go to the land of Mary. What's got, Lerone?
All right. Hey, to piggyback what Marco just said, I think Cowboy just surpassed Joe Lozon in bonuses, I think. But Lozon was holding that for a while. This fight here it got fireworks. It got Fight of the Night written all over it. I think this fight right here is out of the whole card is going to be just a barn burner. Both of these guys, their records are kind of identical. I would want to go Jim Miller so bad, man. You know, the whole New Jersey, New York kind of right there on, you know, right over the bridge. I kind of want to side with him. Remember, you guys remember back a few years ago, he 7 or 8, 9 fight win streak. Remember, he was just crushing. He was like in his prime, killing everybody. You guys remember that?
Long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, like almost four years ago. Yeah, Jim Miller. He was on a nice little tear. Ever since
he
should have
got a title
shot,
but he
snapped it. Exactly.
Sorry, right.
They don't. Yeah. They. Whatchamacallit? What's that fighter's name? Ferguson. They're doing him like how Ferguson is getting done. He had a nice little streak going, and when it got snapped, I forgot who snapped it. He just haven't really win one lose one. He might have should have won, did it, you know, went in there, you know, sloppy, probably, you know, wasn't at his best in some fights. Lozon, man, I really want to go Jim Miller. I think Lozon, he's another one, too. I mean, he's like a Kenny Florian, man. He's like one of those fighters, man, that should have also got a title shot or be a contender. I think he always just never just reached the cusp. Like, he would give you, like, two wins, a loss, a win, and I mean, the fights are just, you know, just fantastic, man. Just, you know, he loses, you know, the cage. It's like you open the cage door and blood pours out, you know. It's just, you know, he's going to, you know, fight to the death in there for you, you know. I got Lozon in this. I'm going to say probably TKO in the second round. I would want to go Miller, man, but I got Joe Lozon for sure, second round TKO.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Lerone here on this one that I want to pick Miller. I really do because these two guys, I remember them when the first fight happened. I felt the same way. You know, who do I go with? Because these guys are both, you know, fantastic fighters. I like them both. Jim Miller does an awesome Ultimate Warrior. What's up, Bo? I have to go with Lozon as well. I mean, those Ricky Lundell brown belts aren't easy to come by. Ricky Lundell, if you've ever looked into him, is a very, very interesting fella. He demands perfection from his fellas. And I think that's what we're going to see tonight. I really do. On Saturday night, we're going to see Lozon go out and put on another excellent performance. I think, like Lerone said, this is fight of the night material right here. I mean, unless Pettis Oliveira steals it from them, or Maya Condit, this is definitely what I'm looking at fight of the night. But you never know, guys. But I'm going to take Lozon, and I'm going to take him. This is the tough part, guys. This is the tough part. I think I'm going to take him late third round submission.
I can see that.
Now, to steal the line from Lerone, wow. All right, guys. I could be deranged. Now, hold on. Marco, you picked Miller.
Could be.
And Lerone, you picked Miller, too?
No, they both picked Lozon.
Oh, okay. Never mind. So, and Proteus, you picked Lozon. Jay Lau also?
Correct.
Yeah, then it's a one-sided affair, guys. I'm with you guys.
Yeah.
I think it is going to be a good fight. I don't think it's going to be rock'em sock'em robots here. I think it's going to be a slow grind out. But I just, both of them are fantastic BJJ guys. I just see Joe Lozon as more he's a bigger fighter at 5'10", allegedly. Right, and I just think he has a little bit more power. Again, a brown belt under Lundell, no joke, but a black belt under Cruz isn't a joke either. I'm taking Joe Lozon with a... Let's go... You know what? All right, let's go for broke. Let's go TKO in the late second.
I love when you go for broke, Tony.
Why not, right? You know me,
always
riding that fence, guys. So
yeah.
I love everyone, you know. So, all right. We move up in weight we go, just like me. Up in weight we go, guys, to the women's strawweight division. And you know me, guys, I love the ladies. Now, here we go.
We do know you. Yes, Tony.
Paige VanZant, ranked 10th in the UFC, 22 years beautiful. I mean, young, 22 years old. Sorry, I can't help but say Paige VanZant, beautiful, and Pamela Anderson in the same sentence. By the way, 6-2 birth name. I bet you guys didn't know this. Paige Sletten. You guys may not have known this. The beautiful PVZ guys is 4-1 in her last five. Her only loss of her career to Rose Namajunas. And by the way, guys, it drives me crazy when professionals, not a jobber like me, say Rose Namajunas. Like, what are you talking about? 12-gauge Paige, by the way, making her comeback versus Rowdy Beck Rawlings. Obviously, Beck Rawlings not ranked. Rowdy Beck Rawlings, guys, 27 years young, 7-4. Beck trains in the U.S., by the way, when she fights, guys. She's 3-2 in her last five, which I was surprised about. Losses only to Mizuki and Heather Jo Clark, guys. The athletic Rawlings is from Tasmania. I thought she was Australian. Marco, what you got?
Okay, let's not forget that PVC also lost to Tisha Torres in Invicta, so that is part of her record. But I've been pondering about this fight because, you know, yeah, Paige VanZant, beautiful girl, he got her ass handed to her by Rose Namajunas on her last fight, and then she went dancing. She went dancing with the start. She did fantastic. I watched every single one of her dance. You look beautiful up there. And she got all the glitz and glamour of Hollywood and a lot of attention paid to her, you know, doing the circuit in Good Morning America and all that stuff. So I wonder where her head is. I wonder where her head is based. I mean, she's all over the place with the Metro PCS commercials. She's making money. Has she been training? I know she comes from a really good training camp with Team Alpha Male, but is her head in the game right now? Beck Rollins, on the other hand, this girl, she's been grinding. She's a grandest style kind of fighter. Yeah, her record is 3-2 in the UFC, but every single one of her fights have been a dogfight. She's not an easy out. I don't think this is a showcase fight for Paige VanZant in any case. I very, very hesitantly going to pick Paige VanZant just because of her, you know, in-your-face, never say die kind of style, and she's tough as hell. She proved us that on the Rose Namajunas fight. But very, very hesitantly because of all her, I wonder what her space is. Paige VanZant by decision, 29-28.
Laurent, what's the
guy?
Hold on, so you're...
Yes, we get to talk to the ladies.
Hang on, Marco. You're going Paige BZ via PBZ via decision, right?
29-28, yeah.
Oh, wow. What's the score? What you got, Laurent?
Oh, man. Yes, we get to talk about the ladies now?
Yes, sir.
We talk about the ladies?
We're going to talk about the ladies.
Oh, yeah. Let me see. 12-gauge Paige. Hmm. And Beck Rollins. Ah, man. Paige, she showed a lot of heart in her last fight. I mean, a lot of heart, man. I thought she would give up. I think she's kind of just, you know, been marketed, you know, on the assembly line that Sage Northcutt came off of. So, you know, you got the looks. The height kind of pushed her a little bit more than, you know, she should have been, you know, kind of courted a little bit more slowly. Beck Rollins, you got coming off of a two-fight win streak. And I think the women's division is not getting, you know, enough spotlight, you know, because it's a male-dominant sport. Not to be sexist or nothing like that. So I remember Beck Rollins a while ago was talking about just, you know, we're not getting that shine. So I'm thinking she's looking just to snatch and take, you know, that spotlight from her. And I think I'll go back in this. Paige was doing the, what was that show? She was Dancing with the Stars. She was doing that. She's doing like Marco said, Metro PCS commercials, playing hot chick in real life. And hello?
Go ahead. Right, go ahead. So we were talking about Paige. Sorry. Right away we gotta go with the effects. Oh, you know that.
Tony can't
control
himself.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What was that? Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. There you go. Hang on.
Right.
You deserve this one. Thank you. Go ahead,
there you go. Shameless plug, right. The thing is with her, man, I think she's a lot in the spotlight with commercials and this cross about her going over to the WWE and doing movies and stuff like that. Matter of fact, she just did a movie, I think, too, with GSP or something like that. The Kickboxer remake. I heard she was in that.
Yep.
She has a lot of stuff going on outside of the cage. For her to haven't been back. Has she fought since... horrible of me. I can't remember. It's so many fights.
Nama Yunus? No. She hasn't fought since Nama Yunus.
Oh, wow. That's been a while, too, man. I don't know, man. That's a lot. That's a lot riding on that. I mean, for her to, you know, to come off of that ass kick, and she just basically ran into a fan blade, and to come back from that and then doing things outside of the cage. I'm not saying that she's not focused and prepared, but, you know, and those things go hand in hand to me like ring rust when you're outside of the cage for a long while. And her focus was on other things also. So I think Beck Rollins is going to try to snatch her soul and, you know, try to take her buzz, man, you know, because the other women are just tired of Paige Van Zandt, Ronda Rousey, Karate Hottie, all these other names. But you never hear anyone talk about Beck Rollins or Felicia Herrig and all these other girls. You don't hear these girls' names. And, you know, they're, you know, putting on good fights and she got a win, you know, it's a small division, but she's coming off of a two-fight win streak. You're not really hearing that. Everybody else is more or less going with the Paige Van Zandt. You know, she's coming back to fight. How is she going to do versus who she's fighting and how that person's going to do? You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to have to probably go Beck Rollins on that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. Before I get into it, I'm going to comment on something that Marco said, and he drew us back to the Rose Namajunas fight. And I'm going to say, Marco, Rose Namajunas is not Beck Rollins. I mean, Beck Rollins is a big girl. Thank you, Tony. Beck Rollins is a big girl, and she's very, very talented. And I don't know if you guys watched the countdown, and PVZ did look good on that paddleboard, by the way, just saying. And but I think Beck Rollins.
This man has no dick.
I think. Ooh, that's not true.
Go ahead.
I don't think that's true at all. No. You came at me there. And that's no, I'm joking with you. I'm just joking with you. Okay. So I think Rollins smashes Paige Van Zandt. I don't think Van Zandt had a chance, even if she was not doing things out of the cage. I think that Beck Rollins is gonna just be too much. I mean, the size difference is crazy, you know, and I'm going to go Beck Rollins probably, I want to say first round KO, but yeah, I'm going to go first round KO.
Guys, Tony. You guys have left me speechless. You literally have. I can't believe that two out of the three people said that Beck Rollins has a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! I can't believe it, guys. You guys are talking about Beck Rollins like she's LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Thank you. Believe me, there's no championship here.
Championship.
All right, guys. Well, listen, let's come back to reality. As the great Ben Affleck once said, LeBron, you're going to like this, in the movie Boiler Room.
Come on, let's go, Schlepprock. Out.
Yeah, Boiler Room was a great movie.
All right, guys.
I loved it.
All right, listen, I like Beck Rollins. I really do, guys. I like her. I think if you look at her.
I think there's a butt coming here.
Right. If you look at her Instagram and follow, by the way, Proteus's lead there. But if we look at this, guys, let's look at her career in its totality. Literally, right? Since she's been in the U.S., lost to Carla Esparza is no joke, via decision, right? Beat Jaminska, I never even heard of her, via submission. That was a Pena versus Watterson fight. Lost to Mizuki, and that was via decision, but that was completely one-sided. Lost to Heather Jo Clark, guys, and I think I like Heather Jo Clark, but let's be honest. Heather Jo Clark isn't going to fight for a championship anytime soon. Hold on.
Championship.
Thank you. She beat Lisa Ellis via submission, right? Rear naked choke in the first round. That was in Australia. And then she beat a fighter that I'd never heard of. I think she was a Korean fighter. Sohee Ham, I think is the way you pronounce it. In three rounds, right? Via decision in Australia. Any way you want to look at it, guys, and again, I'm a big fan. I'm not a big fan. I like Beck Rollins. I really do like her. And she is a bigger fighter than PVZ. But if you look at PVZ, the only thing that PVZ has going against her, besides her youth, right, is the fact that she is a smaller fighter and she hasn't fought. In last time she fought, basically, was her loss to Rose Namajunas. But Rose Namajunas, to me, guys, mind you, in five rounds, she got her butt whipped for five rounds, and I don't know if she's I don't know if she has numerous dislocations, or I don't know what her deal was, because I thought that arm was dislocated several times, guys. But she kept fighting and did not give up. And if you look at her output and the people that she's beaten, Alex Chambers, Felice Herring, Kaylin Curran, if you keep looking at I think it's Kylie is how they pronounce it. But whatever it is, I even with the fact that she's only a blue belt in BJJ, even with the fact that she's smaller, even with the fact that she hasn't fought since December of last year, I still think she's a more talented fighter than Beck Rollins. Beck Rollins, even when she walks alone, it hurts me because she's so knock-kneed. And keep in mind, she also had knee surgery not too long ago. She has fought since, but she has knee surgery. And just watch her walk, guys. She's knock-kneed really bad. I'm taking PVZ, and I'm taking PVZ like Marco via decision. It's going all three, guys.
Fair enough. Let's move on to an exciting fight.
Oh! Hold on! Whoa!
Ouch.
I mean, just look at the fucking smile on my face. Ear to ear, baby.
Great.
Thank you. All right. We move on, guys, to hold on. Did he really just say let's move on to exciting fight? I think PVZ just called.
Excuse me, bitch.
Thank you. All right. We move on to featherweight, guys. And this is going to be weird because I'm going to give you Anthony Showtime Pettis' ranking. But it's not as a featherweight, right? It's as a lightweight. Pettis, of course, wants the champion ranked number 7. But here's no news to you guys, right? Number 7 ranked Anthony Pettis at lightweight, 29 years young. And I think he still has a lot left, 18-5, or maybe not. Maybe Bellator bound. No news here, guys, right? In his last 5, you guys already know the record, but it still surprises me, guys. 2-3 with 3 straight decision losses, one which was one-sided to Alvarez, maybe 2, right, to Barbosa. Lost to Alvarez, one-sided to Dos Anjos. I thought actually it was pretty close versus Alvarez. Versus number 6 ranked and very talented Charles Oliveira, 26 years old, 21-5-1, guys. Oliveira is 4-1, which I was surprised in his last 5, his only recent loss to Max Holloway. And now that scary, you know, neck injury, right? That I guess it's a TKO loss, but that was, you know, someone thought that it was his esophagus or something. It was a pretty frightening injury there. So, Marco, the man in Waco, what you got?
Man, I can't wait for this fight, dude. I cannot wait for this fight. Yeah, granted, the former lightweight champion, Anthony Showtime Pettis, has been a little bit of a slum lately. I was there in Dallas when he lost to Rafael Dos Anjos. And ever since the fight, Tony hasn't been the same. He hasn't been pulling the trigger as much as he usually does. Something was lost there, but I truly believe that this is the best thing that he can do. Move down and get a fresh pain of his whole career. Charles Oliveira fought a lightweight before. You know, he lost to the likes of Donald Cerrone. And then he realized, I maybe need to drop in weight. And you see what he's doing. He's ranked number 6 as a featherweight. All that said, Charles Oliveira, very talented guy. I really like what he does on the octagon. Like, he's much known for his submissions and decisions than a knockout artist. Anthony Pettis is known as a finisher, especially with his very, very exciting. I think they give him Charles Oliveira because I truly believe it's a winnable fight for Anthony Pettis. He will be able to get his offense going, his striking, and showcase what once was probably one of the most fantastic kicks in the USA. I'm taking Anthony Pettis on the second round, TKO punches, just because I truly think his back is against the wall, and I think Anthony Pettis is going to correct all the wrongs and start making a case for himself to become a contender on the featherweight division.
Jerome, you're the New York State of Mind himself. What you got?
Oh, man. Pettis, man. Come on, Pettis. It was all good a week ago, baby. You was champion just the other day. And then in the blink of an eye, he's down by three matches. That's like one of the craziest things in the sport to me, man. Is one minute you can be on top, and then the next minute it's like, you know, who is he again? Who? Man, I'm gonna give you a breakdown, but off the rip, I'm gonna kind of be a homer and go with Pettis. I'm a big Pettis fan. I'm gonna go with Pettis. I think he's gonna have some resurgence, knowing that I think he might get a Lenny Garcia kind of leash, and might, even if he comes off a loss, he'll get one more. You know,
oh, yeah.
Being that, you know, he's celebrating, he's a star. He lost a good competition. Besides him losing the belt, the fights were one-sided, but it wasn't like he just got ramshackled. It didn't look like he didn't belong in there. I think he's going to have a resurgence, sort of like how what's his name? Overeem. Overeem was down by like two or three. He just came back and he was on a tear. I think he's just gonna, you know, Duke Rufus got him in the gym. I don't think we're gonna really see much as far as like all that flashy Showtime, you know, spinning shit, jumping off the cage, you know, looking like I'm, you know, button mashing the controller at the TV screen when he's fighting. We're not gonna get that Anthony Pettis, I don't think. I think we're gonna, he's gonna be who he is, but I think he's gonna really try to point fight and be more technical and try to at least squeeze out a win. I don't think he's gonna try to go in there and be as loose and then just try to just wing it round by round. I think he's gonna try to go in there and be more technical, and I got him, I'm gonna say, I'd say either, no, I can't. I gotta give you a flat straight answer. I'm going to say a decision. I'm gonna say a decision. You know, all three rounds for a decision.
Whoa.
Now with Duke, my boy Duke Bronx, which means in Portuguese the ghetto. Which, yep. I'm kind of, you know, I'm from the Bronx, you know, I don't kind of understand that, but whatever. If you look at his, I grew up in a middle class, you know, area, so ghetto, the Bronx, I don't kind of like that, but anyway. And look at his losses. He lost to Jim Miller in 2010. That's the Jim Miller that was in his prime. Not the Jim Miller we're getting now. Then he had no contest with Nick Lentz. Donald Cerrone, you know, he's always, you know, it depends if he shows up or not, you know, but, you know, Cerrone, you can always kind of count on him to be the favorite in most of his fights. Cub Swanson, Edgar, these are his losses. Max Holloway, who's in a tear right now, his last loss. Besides those, win. He's, I don't want to say he's a B-tier fighter. I don't know where he's at in the rankings, but I would definitely say he's a top 10 fighter if he's not in, like, he's not in the first top 5, but he's a top 10 fighter. And I think he needs to kind of beat Pettis to kind of so where it could just, you know, catapult him a little bit, because he's almost there, but he's not just there just yet.
Okay, before we address the craziness coming out of Lerone's mouth, I'm just going to do this real quick. I'll send that one out to my boys John Morgan and Ken S. Hathaway, who are in my country right now drinking nice Canadian beverages. Cheers, boys. Yeah, you're crazy, boy. You're crazy. Charles Oliveira is a dangerous, dangerous fighter. And he's been in the top 10 for a while now, man, I think. You know, did you see him? Do you recall him knocking out Terry Adams? The spinning shit? Yeah, that's the guy that Pettis is coming up against. This fight is going to be fireworks. If these both these guys come out and fight the way they can fight, like I said earlier on when we were talking about the Lozon fight and the Miller fight, this is in contention for fight of the night, guys. I know Anthony Pettis is gone over to Jackson's, and I hope that helps his career, and I hope this weight cut is good for him. It's the first time he's coming down to 45s, and they did not give him a light test. This is going to be a tough fight for him, especially against a guy who's trained as well as Oliveira is, down training with Frankie Edgar and in New Jersey, and he's moved there full time. So both these guys are at good camps. I'm going to take Oliveira. I'm going to take him by second round TKO or KO. And welcoming Pettis to 145s.
Wow.
I want to report,
hey, Tony, right
I want
quick,
to wait for Tony.
Right quick. You said Terry Adam got knocked out. You mixing up your Brazilians. That was Barbosa that knocked out Terry Adam, not
yeah.
Oliveira, brother.
That does happen. But I still
you gotta
Oliveira.
Put down the brisky, baby. You gotta put the brisky down.
Hey, Terry, hey.
I know,
Tony,
you're coming at me. It's okay, I made a mistake. It's all good.
Tony, I want to retort real quick before you speak up.
Please,
you mentioned the losses for Charles de Bronx. Well, Anthony Pettis lost to RDA, former champion, Eddie Alvarez, current champion, Barbosa, ranked number 3. He beat Gilbert Melendez, Benson Henderson, Donald Cerrone. He was a former world champion, so, you know, if it's not apples to apples here, you know. That is what I see in Tony. has a more high caliber experience and the talent to beat the Bronx. It's all within his head now. It's within his ears if he's going to beat him or not. And I think that is why he's dropping to featherweight, because it's a fresh coat of paint for him. The one factor for him to win this fight is within his ears. What is his state of mind? It's not the talent, bro.
Hold on, guys. Are we talking about headspace now? Is there a conspiracy theory here?
No, not at all.
All right, guys. Well, this is I think this is a pick'em fight, guys. I think most of the fights here are pick'em fights, including the main event. But this co-main event is definitely a pick'em. I think even Rawlings and PVZ, honestly, are a pick'em. Lozon and Miller for sure. Even Casey and Alvey, guys. But let's be honest. I mean, any way you want to look at this, and I don't know if maybe, you know, Charles Oliveira has a lot of tools in his pocket, guys, but I don't think that he sees very well in the ring, guys.
Excuse me, bitch.
That's right, I said it. I don't think he sees very well in the ring, guys. If you look at his glasses, guys, those are very, very, very thick glasses, and I do think that hurts him just a bit, guys. Of course, of his victory, 6 submission victories. I think if it goes to the ground, guys, I think you guys are right. I think it's Charles Oliveira. If it goes to the ground, I just don't see it going that way. Like Proteus said, Showtime Pettis is now with Jackson Wink. The first fight, I think they really laid in on him. I think he knows that he needs to change. I think dropping down in weight. I think, believe it or not, guys, I think this was supposed to be a gimme fight, believe it or not, and it's not. But I think moving down his weight is gonna help him out. If you look at Oliveira, guys, and the guys that he's had trouble with, just the guys that he's had trouble with, Holloway, mind you, there it was kind of odd, right, because it was that next stoppage, right? But Holloway, if you look at the issues that he had with Cerrone, some of these guys, man, and the fact that any way you want to look at it, you can't take away the fact that Showtime Pettis beat Benson Henderson, guys. In my eyes, Benson Henderson, mind you, probably because he's a good guy, but in my eyes, Benson Henderson is one of the top athletes in this sport, period. So I think somehow Pettis gets it either in control. This is a make-or-break fight for him, guys. In many ways, this is a make-or-break fight for him. I say it's going to be Pettis. I say it's going to go, believe it or not, guys. I think he's going to do something crazy. So, all right, I'm going to hedge, but I'm going to give you something, all right? I think if it goes, if it's an Oliveira win, it's a submission, and I think it goes in probably the second round, but I think Pettis takes it with some sort of striking victory somehow, some way, and I think he takes in the first round, guys, with some sort of leg kick. I think Pettis comes out with, pulls a rabbit out of his hat, and that's what I think happens, guys.
I have a quick retort. I'm going to agree with Lerone. I don't think this is make or break for Pettis. I think the move down to 45 gives him more life. I don't think if he loses this fight, which I think he does lose this fight, but I think if he loses this fight, I think they're going to let him go again at 45. I mean, like I said on my ridiculous breakdown of this fight, that, you know, this is the first time Pettis has dropped it down to 45. I think in his whole entire career. Marco, is that correct? I don't want to sound like I'm an idiot again, but I think this is the first time he's going down to 45 in his career, especially in the UFC. So I think they give him another chance, even if he does lose.
Well, they got a lot of riding on this guy. You know, he's on Metro PCS commercials.
Right.
At one point, he was in the Widow's box. Remember that? So
yep.
they got a lot invested on this guy, but he needs to perform. You know, you can have a long leash when you are in bed with the USC like this, but that leash gets shorter and shorter with each loss, man. I don't see that he loses, he's going to get caught, but, you know, if he loses this fight, it's time to reassess what is going on. But as I said, I'm riding with Tony Pettis just because it's the kind of fight I think he will rise to the occasion, because he only loses to the elite. He doesn't lose to the ones that he's not supposed to lose to.
Yeah, pretty boy. He needs to put the damn ping pong table down and get his ass in the damn gym, you know? I forget about that. To piggyback off what Marco said, yeah, he's doing. He's another one doing commercials, you know, and,
yeah.
and taking the shirt off and, you know, all this other craziness. He might have to, you know,
He's part of that Metro PCS thing with Paige Van Zandt.
Right.
Yeah, but
Sorry, Tony, let me just quick. Yeah, I think we, like I said at the top, I think we really have to take into consideration his move, Pettis's move to Jackson's, and he's training there full time. I don't think he's at Rufus's anymore right now. I think they've got their sights set on Punk a little too much, and I think that's why he had to move out and go somewhere else. Nothing, Tony.
I think
no drop.
Hold on.
You missed it. There you go. That's it.
Or a ping pong ball bouncing on a table or something.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think we have to take that in consideration. I still think Oliveira wins, but that's it.
You think his whole camp is in Jackson? I would be thinking he's mixing it up, you know? He might have to go out there and find something else, you know?
I don't know for sure. I'm not on the inside. I don't have any information like Gigi, you know, like our boy Budo used to say, where's the information? You got the information. You want the inside. I am not on the inside. So that's just my feeling. That's just my feeling from the outside, brother. So.
Well, allow me to retort.
I agree a lot with Proteus on this, guys, because I think he has moved full time to Jackson Wink. And here's the one thing. Look at the long laundry list of Jackson Wink fighters, guys. Did John Jones, and I'm not talking about, you know, the troubles, but if you look at the fighters, Condit, right, Holm, Jones, and just a bevy of fighters, guys. And his brother, by the way, Sergio, is also with Jackson Wink now full time. If you look at this, guys, I think that Greg Jackson and Winklejohn are going to be pretty tough on him. I think they've let him have it. Marco's right. He has fought too tentative. But I still think this is a make-or-break fight, guys. You look at Pettis, he's gone soft. Something's wrong with him, and Marco's right. It's completely between his ears. But this kid's too talented. And obviously Charles Oliveira is too, guys. But this kid is too talented not to make a comeback. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But he's not out of shape. It's not like he's been really, really injured. He did have a small injury, right? But that was, what, a couple years ago versus Dos Anjos. Keep in mind, this kid fought with a concussion for 5 rounds with the killer that was RDA, guys. But I just don't see Charles Oliveira. Mind you, he can submit him, right? But RDA is also a killer in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I just don't see how Pettis loses. I do think if he loses, guys, I think all hell breaks loose, not to quote the great McGregor, but I think all hell breaks loose if he loses, guys.
Just to confirm, Tony, before we move on, our insider, Joe from H-Town, has told us that he can confirm that Pettis is training at both spots. So thank you very much, Joe, for your inside information.
Cool. That's what I was thinking. I don't think he'd just be at one spot. To piggyback off with Tony... Go ahead.
Yeah, boys and girls, Joe from H-Town makes an appearance.
Yep.
Hey, to piggyback right quick what Tony just said, you was talking about RDA's BJJ. It was basically a punch in the face that threw Pettis off the fight. He said he was seeing two RDAs the whole fight. He just rocked them one good time, and he was out of the fight. It was just him trying to focus on where he was at in the cage. That's what basically took him out the fight the whole fight.
It was like that Dillashaw, the Brazilian. I get all my Brazilians mixed up. The vampire. It was like that
Brandel.
Dillashaw, Brandel fight. Yeah.
Burrell.
When he got cracked and Dillashaw took advantage.
Yeah,
kind of the same thing like that, right?
Yeah, exactly, right. Oh, man, both of those were, they're two and the same, right, exactly.
So right, hold on.
Let's move on to this main event, yeah?
We get this straight. Hold on before we move on. So two for Pettis, two for Oliveira. Is that what we got?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've been split down the middle the whole time here, except for maybe the PVZ fight.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, well, let's. So you are saying that Pettis has
PVZ pipe.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah. I just had a. All right, guys, we move on to the main event. We go, guys. Again, in my opinion, another pick'em fight here, guys. We go number three ranked. Damian Maia, 38 years old. I always forget he's that old, guys. Hold on. A news flash from Joe. Hold on. Ticker, ticker, ticker. 38 means that you have 1 foot in the grave. Thank you. All right. So we're all dead except for Lerone. 23-6, guys. Clearly a BJJ master. Boy, that sounds wrong. Hold on. Hold on. I need what? Thank you. A BJJ master. That sounds wrong. All right. The Brazilian, by the way, guys, 5-0 in his last five, beating the likes of Gunnar Nelson, LaFleur, and submitted the great Matt Brown, who I think, honestly, I'm not joking, is related to my wife, and Neil Magny. Maia, of course, going up against the number four ranked, one of my wife's favorite fighters, and I don't think it's his fighting style, guys, the natural-born killer himself, Carlos Condit, 32 years old. Of course, the ring girl's favorite, as they've said, the sexiest man in the UFC. Why do I care? Hold on. I deserve that one, too. Thank you. All right. The 32-year-old Condit, guys, 32-9. And believe it or not, this actually threw me for a loop, guys. 2-3 in his last five. 2-3. Losses to Lawler, Woodley, Hendricks, and I think Marco will put it just like Pettis. He doesn't lose to tomato cans, as Lerone would say, but really a loss to Hendricks? Oh, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong Hendricks. But, Marco, what you got?
Okay, this fight, man, I also scratched my head. Like I said, it's a beacon. But I was surprised to see that Carlos Condi's USC record is 7-5. Not too stellar of a fight. On his debut, he lost to Martin Cartman. Granted, he avenged that loss, but you know, he loses only to the best. He lost to George St. Pierre, of course. Lost to Henry Slaginados, Tyron Woodley, and then Robbie Lawler. But like I said, the former interim welterweight champion. If you look at his career, he doesn't fight that often, and he only loses to the best. However, I am afraid that like George St. Pierre put a blueprint on how to beat him, because that's what Maia does. And Maia, even at 38 years old, is a new and improved version of John Fitch. He gets you to the ground and you're not getting up. He's 8-2 as a welterweight, mind you. The guy that fought Anderson Silva in that dreadful, dreadful fight in Abu Dhabi for the middleweight championship. But like you said, 8-2, and he's in a huge winning streak in the welterweight division. Beating the likes of Matt Brown, like you mentioned, Neil Magny, Gunnar Nelson. You know, these are not easy fights by any means whatsoever. The blueprint to beat Maia is up there. You got to get him past the third round, you know, because he does get tired. And you saw it on the Matt Brown fight on the third round. You know, Brown, you know, is prone, and Maia was gasping for air, but he was able to grab that leg, get the single, and get on top of Brown and finally choke him out. If Condit is not able to get Maia off him, it is Maya's old day. A lot of people are harping on the idea that, you know, Condit might be able to get the distance and a decision from the outside. Let's not forget that Maia has improved the striking skills. He showcased for a while as a middleweight. And then he said, screw that. Let's go back to what got me to the show as a submission ace. I'm taking Maia, and I'm taking Maia in a very boring ground battle that people are not going to be pleased with. But Maya's going to impose his will, and eventually I think he's going to catch Carlos Condit on a rear naked choke on the third round, Maia by submission.
Lerone, what you got?
Man, oh, man. This fight here, man, I have to kind of agree with Marco, man. This could be a fight where it's just, you know, BJJ class on the ground, man, just a schooling for, you know, all five rounds, you know, whenever, you know, someone gets submitted, you know, any sooner. You know, or hopefully if Khan has still got that bike he was driving around in the octagon with Diaz some years ago,
there we go.
You know what I'm saying, if he still got it, he could hop on that, or if not, he could use whatchamacallit from last Saturday's, Connor's bike. Joking. I think this fight is going to come down to how Condon is going to execute, what kind of game plan, what he's going to come out with, because he's one of those complete fighters where I think his camp and his game plans are tailor-made for his fighters. So he's going to come out, because when he fought Robbie Lawler, I was surprised. I was surprised, and he looked really good in that last fight, and a lot of people had him in that fight. So I could see him having a game plan that's tailor-made for Maya, but I could see Maya just, you know, kind of falling to the ground or you know, or kind of playing into it if he can't get him down or you know, just kind of, you know, taunting him. Like, yeah, come to the ground with me. Come to the ground with me. I could see a lot of that happen. And he might, you know, strike him and, he might stun him, he'll fall to the ground, and then he was kind of, you know, offering to come to the ground with him. I could see a lot of that. I could see this fight being boring, and it could just be one of those fights where he just gets schooled on the ground, because Maya has, like, the best, like, BJJ, I think, like, in UFC, hands down. He's one of them. I think this fight, man, is going to be Maya, and I want to go Condit. I think, actually, in my own personal picks, I think I did pick Condit because I want him to win just so he can kind of get back in the mix and fight the Woodleys and the Wonder Boys. But I'm going to have to go Maya. I'm going to say split decision Maya. I think it's just going to be one of those fights that's on the ground the whole time. I don't think he's going to get the submission because Condit is pretty good, decent on the ground. I don't think he would have the willpower to want to tap and give in, and he would be able to defend it somewhat.
Okay, first of all, I want to echo what Marco said at the top. Condit was the WEC welterweight champ, and it really pissed me off that he never got any kind of recognition for that in the UFC. They didn't ever give him a title fight. He had to earn it, and that really pissed me off. And as another thing that Marco said, and Tony, what you've said, is that his record reflects the fact that he's been fighting the best. You know, he's been fighting the Woodleys. He's been fighting the champion. He's been, you know, I mean, his last fight was against the champion at the time, right? So let's not sleep on Carlos Condit. Now, Maya is not GSP, and Marco said something about that. You know, Maya does not have the wrestling game that GSP has. And I don't foresee Condon getting into that jiu-jitsu game with Maya just like Brown did. And let's be honest, Brown had a Maya backpack on for that fight. So that was all but over in the first when he got brought down in the first. But yeah, I think that as Lerone said, Condon can get in and get out. He can use his footwork to get away from Maya and circle out and reset like he did against Nick Diaz, which is, sorry guys, part of fighting. And if you don't like it, go down to the bar, watch a street brawl. You'll get your kicks there. So I enjoy seeing Condit move. Thank you. I enjoy seeing Condit move. I enjoy seeing Condit's footwork. And I think he's going to be able to get away from Maya. I think that he's going to be able to use his range with his legs and his punches and his jab, just like we saw Cerrone do. They're from the same camp. Those guys are dialed in right now. And I see it going down kind of similar. As much as I like Maya, and I don't know why Maya is coming out of the red corner in this fight, which also pisses me off, showing me that Condit can't get down. Love. I'm taking Condit. I'm going to take a Carlos Conduit by I say KO in the second.
Yeah, the reason Maya is going in the red corner is because he's ranked higher than Condit right now. He's ranked number 3
Ooh.
And Condit ranked number 4. But, hey, Condit did get his love.
Last name, so.
Yeah. Found the biggest slow when he beat Nick Diaz. He was the interim welterweight champion before the GSP fight. So he does have a little bit of hardware. Even though it's not right. the big hardware, he does have some hardware, though.
I gotta tell you, looking at this fight, guys, the way on paper, right? On paper, I'd give it to Condit, because if you look at some of the similar style fighters that he's fought, I think Condit and McDonald have a very similar style of fighting, to be frank.
Agreed.
And I think, well, obviously McDonald younger, right? But I think both are fearless. Both were fearless. Hold on. I'm tipping my hat. Hang on. Are you ready, Proteus? I'm tipping my hat already, like I always do.
Don't believe the hype. It's a sequel.
Right.
As an equal, can
right.
I get this through to you?
Hold on. Condit just called and left me a message. I'm gonna play that for you guys. Oh. Hold on. Here you go.
He needs to cut the chit chat. A hole.
Yes.
Thank you.
True.
All right. So
this man has no dick.
Ooh, thank you, Carlos. All right, but
ouch.
I just don't think Carlos's heart is in it any longer. You ever notice, guys, that some guys fight and then they're like Marco, I think it was, it said, you know, their soul is taken away, like Lawler said. I think Lawler lost a little bit with him on during that Lawler fight. That was, to me, guys, still the fight of the year, even though it was early. I still think that was the fight of the year. If you look at the natural born killer dude at 32 years old, guys, he should still have a lot left. And mind you, losing to George St. Pierre, and hold on, Joe's calling right now saying something about Canada sucks or something.
We don't care.
Yeah. Losing to George St. Pierre is no joke, guys. Perhaps the greatest MMA fighter or the UFC fighter, right, that we've ever seen, or certainly one of the top, right, if not the top. Losing to Hendricks, to me, I never thought Hendricks was that great, so that was, you know, the title eliminator fight. That was a little strange. Losing to Kampman, then winning to Kampman, right? Losing to T-Wood, keep in mind, that was a knee injury, right, guys? That wasn't really a loss, right? The Thiago Alves, that was a TKO stoppage. But he did win, right? The Lawler fight, I honestly thought that he won, and I was actually surprised. But in a title fight, to me, guys, you gotta it can't be gray, right? It's gotta be black and white. So I have no problem with Lawler taking that fight. But if you look at it, guys, I just don't think his heart is in it any longer. Maya has been, like Marco said, really impressive, guys. Really impressive. And to me, again, similar type fighters. I think Matt Brown's a little bit more of a brawler, but similar type fighter with Gunnar Nelson. To me, Maya and Nelson are pretty similar in terms of that. Magny, kind of a scrappy as well, but not really specialist at anything. But to me, Brown is like a lower end Condit. If Condit's head's into it, if his heart is into it, not his head, if his heart is into it, I think it goes three. I think, like Marco said, it's a dirty fight all through it. I think Condit takes it. But if for any reason Condit's head's not in it, I think Maya's going to submit him like he does anyone that he gets on the ground. And like Proteus said, he's a backpack. So gun to the head, guys, I got to go Maya.
Hey, you make a really, really good point, bro. Like, right after the Robbie Lawler fight, Condit was talking retirement, and the only way he was going to come back if he was to get a rematch with Robbie Lawler. Well, the Robbie Lawler fight went away when Tyron Goodley knocked him out. Now we got the Demian Maia fight. But if that thought of retiring is keeping in your head, you're right. It's probably because your heart is not into it that much anymore. You know? I mean, Condit is not a poor man. He has done good for himself. And like they say, man, it's hard to get out when you're – I'm fine when you're sleeping on steel sheets.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Are you being Uncle Fester right now, brother? Because seriously. You know, I just think. Marco.
But that man just made $360 million, dude. Don't piss on Uncle Fester.
Yeah, he did.
it doesn't mean he's not a jackass. Anyway.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, but it's a rich jackass to you, my man.
I think. I don't know what you said. No one understands the words that are coming out of your mouth.
That's a rich jackass. He deserves a plug.
I'm just joking, Marco. I'm just joking. I think that.
Ain't nobody
I think
got time for that.
We got one more drop in you, Tony, before I start talking?
Hold on. Might as well. Why not? Right,
hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Thank you. Go ahead.
No, I don't think we have to worry about where Condit said is at. I know that what Dana White says all the time, that, you know, if you're talking about retirement, I think that what he was trying to do there was trying to get that fight against Lawler. I think he was trying to get that rematch, big money fight. We're seeing how the UFC is going that way and that fighters are trying to get what, you know, the big money fights. I think Carlos is trying to do that. Then afterwards, you know, he got some space from it, and we heard him in interviews. I think he was on Helwani's show and saying that, you know, Maya is a fight that intrigued him. Maya is a fight that he wants to take because Maya's fucking good, guys. Maya is a top contender. And I think Condit wants to get back to the title, and I think if he beats Maya, he's going directly to the title. Marco?
Yeah, he's next.
I don't disagree with you. And, yeah, all your points are completely valid. I'm just saying that if you start talking about it, and even if you, like, use it as a plot, well, I remember a lot of interviews that he did publicly, and he was completely serious about the retirement to getting out young because, you know, the game catch us with you. He's got 32, but he's going to be hit on the head a lot, and he's very public about the fact that, you know, he wants to grow up and be able to talk to his kids and grandkids and stuff. But hey, like we have expressed before, it is going to be an interesting fight. I still ride with Homeboy Maya. Maya has a purpose. You know, he's running against the clock. He's 38, and he's in a great run. And I've seen that's the kind of focus that you need if you want a title shot. And I totally agree. Whoever wins this fight should be next in line for the title. I just don't think that Carlos may have the answer for the ground game of Maya. It's going to be greedy. It's going to be kind of boring. And I still don't ride with Maya, dude.
Yeah. Well, if Marco, you're right. If it goes to the ground, I don't know how much Condit has there for him, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know how much anybody at 170 has for Maya if it goes to the ground. But I don't think it's going to go there. I think Carlos is going to be able to, like I said in my breakdown, going to be able to keep him standing and punch him up, you know?
And that's why we have to watch the fight to find out what's going to happen.
That's right. That's why these shows are ridiculous, right? Because nobody knows what's going to happen in the future.
It's going to definitely be tough, man. It's going to definitely be tough. I think you said it perfect, man. I really think you said it perfect as far as him kind of, you know, choosing his shots and knowing his keeping his distance and his keeping his, you know, his range from being, you know, snatched up and took him to the ground. Who knows? We might even get a flying knee from him. You know, we might get that natural born killer in the cage too. He could go in there and maybe rush Maya, you know, and throw him off his game. And, you know, because Maya might even think, okay, he's going to try to play it safe and not come at me, you know, because you know I'm going to take him down, or you know, try to, you know, get him to the ground, and he might just go in there and just bombard him. I forgot who was that, Dung Young Kim. Am I getting my Asian fighters correct? Okay, he went in there and just I think he mauled somebody else like that too. It was like either back to back fights or it was like in between two different fights he mauled two people like that, and it could be one of those fights too because I don't think Maya would see that coming, and I'd be shocked that even though I'm saying that I'd be surprised to see that even though I'm saying it, you know.
Yeah.
Hey guys,
yeah, I mean anything could happen.
That's why we love the sport, fellas.
Hey, motherfucker!
All right, guys. Let's before we close, let's go into a couple things, guys. So just to make sure, so we're on, because like Proteus said, That's why our picks are worthless. But let's go. So, just to get this straight, everyone's on Maya? Is that right?
No. I'm on Condit.
All right.
I got Condit.
All right. So 3-1. All right, guys. Let's talk about this quickly, guys, because we're not going to go into Bubba Jenkins. And unfortunately, Baby Slice isn't going to fight. But let's go quickly into
Bellator. Yeah, he got injured.
Henderson versus Patrick Pitbull. I think it's clear. I think it's Henderson all the way. Just out of curiosity, guys, what say you guys?
Can I go first?
Oh, Marco, what you got?
Patricio Pitbull Freddy, dude. Going from 145 to 155 to face Benson Henderson. It's not going to be pretty for Patricio Freddy, dude. I mean, he got a puncher chance because he's a knockout artist, you know, but it, I don't know, man. I see Benson Henderson that he's a very good striker himself and out freaking standing in the ground, just bullying this guy, you know, getting against the cage, grinding him, taking him down and abusing him for 3 rounds. I mean, Benson got a bad look on his last fight, but he was facing a monster in, what is the Russian's name, Kashkov? Whatever his name is,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
But this is going to be a really good choke fight for Benson on Bellator. So set up that Michael Chandler fight. I'm not going to completely take out Freddy. Freddy, like I said, got a bunch of shots because the guy, he's with a lot of volume and he hits like a truck. But he's not a Rafael Dos Anjos. Benson Henderson is gonna bully beat down Patricio Freddy, and then we're gonna get a big down the road at the end of the year, a big Michael Chandler fight with Benson.
Hey, by the way, hold on. Before I go into Lerone, I gotta tell you this, Marco. Rafael isn't a Rafael either. I got nothing. Rafael.
No.
On the housing, nothing.
No.
Okay. All right, Lerone, go
no.
on.
I'm gonna have to probably go Bendo, man. But I don't want to just go because he's the favorite, and you know he came from the UFC and the murder as well he'd been through versus Patricky. I still got Bendo, but I mean you can't count Patricky out. I consider him. He's like if Aldo and Edgar had a baby, you'd have Patricky. He's like a poor man's Aldo and a Frankie Edgar of Bellator. He's a great fighter, a scrapper. He's good on the ground. He got heavy hands. He's good on the feet. Also, now let's not forget that Bendo's coming off of a one-sided loss. He got his ass handed to him by the Russian guy. I forgot his name. Kershkov, something like that. Yeah, oh, man. And in that fight, I hands down had Bendo. I didn't go in there and show these guys, you know, I'm from the UFC, blah, 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 blah. And he just got schooled the whole time, man. Schooled the whole time. So who knows if, you know, that might have broken, because you also got to think, too, these guys, right, they got these big, they're getting these big paychecks, right? They're probably getting paid more than the Bellator flagship fighters. And if they take losses, man, that's not good. I mean, yeah, it's one loss, and, you know, we're talking about Bendo, you know, and still, you can't come in here as a big prospect, you know, free agent, not a prospect, but, you know, a free agent, you know, into a kind of like a low-tier organization. Well, you know, the second best, I guess, organization besides UFC as far as in ranking and fighters. And then just take a loss like that. He got straight schooled. So I don't know if that would, you know, can maybe play, take a part and play into this fight, you know. Because he spoke about that, I think it was on MMA Hour or somewhere else, and, you know, it got to him, I guess, you know, for him to perform and stuff like that. It got to him a little bit, you know. So I might be overplaying it or whatever, but that's a possibility. Just kind of being realistic, it's a possibility. But I think he'll pull it out. I got him like a TKO maybe in a second.
Yeah, I just want to touch on something with Benson at 170 in Bellator, and we have to mention that there is no drug testing in Bellator. They fought on an Indian reservation at a casino, I believe, If I'm wrong, somebody correct me. But in that fight at 170 with Benson, I was concerned about that. I mean, the fellow that he fought was just so much bigger than him and just threw him around with ease that just stuck out in my mind. And I was like, ooh, Bellator, you need to get on this drug testing. secondly, I don't know if we're going to touch on this, Tony, but I want to shout out to my boy Rory Mack getting a good contract over there, I'm sure. But getting back into Benson.
Thanks for cutting the next segment, Rory.
Okay, yeah, that's what I figured. So I just go into Benson. So I think Benson's going to handle this. I mean, we've got a guy coming up in weight. Benson is – his last fight was at 170. Like you guys said, his pedigree at the UFC is, you know, fantastic. He's been the champion at lightweight. I think Benson's going to handle him. I can't really see how this is going to go down. Pitbull has a puncher's chance in this fight, right? I mean, he throws leather pretty hard, and he has a puncher's chance, but I don't see it getting to that. I see Benson taking him down, grounding him out. Probably maybe finishing him with his jiu-jitsu, say second round submission. Let's go second round submission.
Well, I guess we're all submission. All right. I guess we're all on the same page. I'm thinking someone else said it too. I think it was Marco. I think he said TKO. I think Bendo's looking to have some sort of reckoning, a redemption,
yeah,
if you will, from his last fight. That guy is huge, but you know what? Koreshkov,
yeah,
guys, he's a – I don't think – who the hell knows who's dirty? Like Nate said, everyone's –
he's from Russia,
dirty,
right? I mean –
right, but, I mean, who the hell knows, right? I mean, hold on, he just called.
Everybody's on steroids.
Thank you. But that guy's a monster, guys. That guy would be a monster also in the UFC, guys. So I got – you know, Joe just sent a text. He's got – wow, Joe's got Pitbull. All right, so you know what? We're not unanimous. Joe's got Pitbull. I got Bendo, the second TKO. Let's go into – hold on.
Joe's not hosting, so his vote doesn't count.
You sure? All right. Well, let's go into it, guys. All right. So let's talk about – hold on. Oh, he picked Koreshkov. All right. Well, how about this? By the way – let's give it up for Rory Mack, like Proteus said. He's not good looking.
He's good looking.
He's not, but he's got the money, hopefully, and a good deal. Let's go into that, guys, because this, to me, I like competition, guys. And the only way you get competition is by signing talent. And not unlike, of course, you know, what the UFC, or not the UFC, the WWF or whatever that garbage is, did many years ago, right, when they were ripping off talent from one to another. I'm sorry, guys, but if you're a grown man and you're watching wrestling, there's something wrong, man. Go to a strip joint, do something, meet a girl, but damn, how the hell can – sorry, I'm off the – sorry.
Record scratch.
Sorry. Hold on, let me do the record scratch. Hold on. I almost swore there, guys. Hold on, let's do the record scratch. Sorry. Hold on.
We better do the record scratch so you can reset. You almost swore. Come on.
I know. Let's hold on. Hold on. Somebody just called about wrestling.
Come on, let's go, Schlepprock. Out.
All right. Thank you. All right. So, but let's go into this, guys, real quickly before we close the show, guys. This is exciting to me, guys. I like when talent signs, and I hope Lawrence Larkin also goes to – I know Cowboy won't, but I hope LL. Is it fair to call him LL? I hope.
No.
All right. I hope Larkin also goes to with Coker. But I think it's exciting, guys. What say you, Marco?
Dude, I was surprised, and it's not like I'm not surprised. I was truly surprised that the UFC let this guy go. And I mean, for me, he's a commodity because he carries the Canadian market. The guy was ranked number 2 on their own rankings. You know, always one fight away from the title. One high profile fight away from the title. And he put a class against Robbie Lawler. We know the guy is a fighter. Man, I don't know how to feel about it, to tell you the truth. I mean,
Yeah, he didn't get the greatest of personalities, but he, when he was on, he would give you some spectacles on the cage. I hope he got paid, you know. He's on his prime. He's only 27 years old. He's gonna put some fantastic fights on Bellator, and I think he's going directly to a title shot. They're gonna put him against Carrasco immediately, because that is their only money fight with this guy now. You know, try to groom him as a new Bellator champion. Very interesting news from Viacom, though. You know, they're spending all this money on free agents and stuff. And Viacom got rid of their CEO. They get the guy a $75 million golden parachute. Yeah, that French dude is out. And this new management of Viacom, you know, we don't know how they're going to feel about their MMA product, Bellator, because also their bond market is kind of flopping. They downgraded their credit line in Viacom, since their profit line hasn't been as big as in years past. So, Bellator need to start producing. I need to start producing results quickly, because a new management might start thinking, okay, we're going to start cutting costs, because they are doing it right now as a company. And if Bellator is not producing, they might go the way of TNA, man.
Laurent?
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. I'm kind of.
I gotta give you that one. Hold on, really? You weren't surprised though? Hold on. Nate just called, Malone.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
The floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, a little bit more authenticity. Yeah, man. They let Bendo go, and It seemed with me, it all started back with John Fitch, man, when they let these good fighters, contenders, you know, go, man. I mean, Rory was always, he was like a Diaz brother, man. He's like one or two fights always away, man. He never been on no bad, you know, bad tear like a Pettis. Look at the fights Rory give you is, there's no winner or loser, because he just gave it his all. That last fight, it was like he lost, but it was just like, you talk more about his heart than Lola winning. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, there's really no loser in that. You get those type of fights from Rory. Rory never been on no real bad skid. I don't have his record in front of me at the moment, but he never, you know, he got a loss here and there and stuff like that. But you know, he took out the current champ, Woodley, and I mean, he schooled him. I'm talking about, you talk about a full MMA like match as far as well executed, to where stand up on the ground, mixed it up with kicks, and he's throwing the question mark kick, and was rock, and I'm a big Woodley fan too, and he handed his ass to him, you know what I'm saying? And he was a really top tier, a top five. I don't care what rank, I don't care if he was 7 or 8, he's a fucking top five fighter, just hand, point blank period. And I didn't like the fact that just he was, the way he was talking on social media after his last fight, and you know, well, before his Wonder Boy fight, I think, and after that, you know, just talking about how he was just, you know, not pleased and stuff like that. And the Lola fight, I think he just got paid $50,000 for that. And I guess, did they get fight of the night?
They did get fight of the night.
They had to. We was at the gathering when that fight was going on. That was 2015's gathering. We was all together watching that fight. I want to say he got his win bonus, and I don't think he had like a show would win. I think he just had just a win bonus, and then he got fighter of the night. But he should have got paid more. He got some fighters that are making a little bit more than him, and I think he should get paid like them. He's one of the upper echelon fighters.
Well, you know what?
Just to clarify,
guys. Sorry to cut you off, Marco. Gigi's right about one thing, guys. Let's be honest. He's got no, I mean, Rory's got no mic skills at all, guys. I mean, literally, he's worse than I am. The me standing 6 inches away from he's worse than I would be if I was standing 6 inches away from the lovely Misha Tate. I mean, my mouth would be shut, just like Rory's. I mean, Rory's horrible, guys, on the mic. Horrible.
Yeah, he's like a Napoleon Dynamite, but he can kick your ass, you know.
Exactly.
Just to to clarify, the only losses on Roddy's career is twice to Robbie Lawler, one to Carlos Condit, and once to Steven Wonderboy Thompson. And none of those guys are spring chickens.
Wow.
None of those guys are
okay.
Those
so yeah. Let's. Can I weigh in here? I know you all want to talk. We're trying to do the order here, and you all talking all over me. So can I have my turn? Yes. Okay.
Go ahead.
So, so listen, guys, this is good for the sport. I agree. I don't know why the UFC let him go. Perhaps because his teammate GSP is returning and they feel they don't need him anymore for the Canadian market, which might be true, guys. I mean, let's be honest. If they get GSP back, GSP will sell out the next two fights that he has. The first two fights that he has, they're going to sell out. They're going to bring GSP back to Toronto in December. That place is going to go absolutely nuts. There's going to be sweat coming down off the ceiling because everybody's so excited about GSP coming back. I think this is really what has sent Rory to Bellator. I think Rory's going to make some money over there, you know, and I think him not being good on the mic is kind of his shtick. You know, he's kind of, you know, the Canadian natural born killer. And that's just, or the Canadian psycho, I think is what they actually call him. And that's his shtick, man. I mean, he's going to come out, he's going to plod forward, he's going to be in it. But what's up with his nose, right? Maybe the UFC already took that into consideration. They've got the upper hand here, and they know that Rory's nose is pretty messed up. I mean, he said that his nose got broken probably, what, I think he said two times before he had his last fight, and then it got broken in that fight as well, and that's what ended the fight. So I don't know, guys. I don't know what the answer is. We're not on the inside, but that's what I would say. I would say that it's good for Rory. He's going to make some money. He's going to, you know, be able to capitalize on his fame from the UFC. And maybe we'll see him back. I don't know. Maybe we see him back in the UFC once GSP retires officially.
What's all the noise in the background, guys?
It's Marco.
Don't blame me.
We just blame everything on you, Marco. It's okay, buddy.
I was on mute.
Just anyway, the Chilean.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, shall we call it, guys?
I'm ready.
Call it.
All right, guys.
Oh yeah. Can we push the show on Sunday? We have Spencer Kite and Nick from Vancouver on Sunday. They're both going to be live and direct from Vancouver.
It's going to be tough, man. I don't know if we can do this, man. With Joe's dropping man every minute and Nick dropping man every 5 seconds, guys. I don't know if we could do this, guys. It's going to be a little too much, man. All right, well, let's listen. Another smash my picks up, guys. And I told Lerone I was going to take care of my boy. So, Lerone, as we close the show, anything you want to plug, my friend?
Yo, 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 yo. It's your boy, Lerone. Check me out on Twitter. My handle is NextTexanMMA. Holler at me right there.
And the man up north, the man who single-handedly got me to look at a Meg Turney 24 hours a day, my boy Proteus.
Yeah, I just like to listen to my intro. Sorry, guys. It's a great walkout song. Yeah, follow me at Proadós and follow us on Facebook. We are another MMA podcast on Facebook. I try to update it as much as I can. And we're going to be doing play-by-play for UFC Vancouver. So follow us on Twitter for that.
Ooh.
At another MMA cast.
I'm glad I knew about that. And let's not forget the man of the hour, the man who is in love with his mute button, finally.
That is me. Hey, follow me at Maldo Marco on Twitter.
Don't follow me on Facebook. That's just for family only. Also, let's not forget, you can always listen to me on every single show that is on SiriusXM, exclusively MMA Junkie Radio. MMA Junkie Radio and all the other shows.
how would we know that it's you, Marco? What's your intro, please?
Marco from Ecuador. Yeah.
That's not the energy. Hold on.
Yeah.
I got time for that.
Say it the right way. No. What's your intro?
It's Marco from Ecuador, but with that, I leave you guys. Catch you guys next time.
That's what I'm talking about, boys. Well, gentlemen, it's come to that time. And by the way, aren't we all glad that Joe from H-Town didn't have to get involved in the show? Only not. We love you, Joe. We're joking. Yo, Joe, being the peacemaker,
one
guys.
Love.
How about that, guys?
Love is love.
And you know me, guys. I am the MMA Junkie exclusive. I don't call any shows but Junkie. I don't rep any shows but Junkie. So fighter in the kit. And
another MMA podcast.
At another MMA cast.
AMP.
AMP Amp Radio with your host,
yes,
the one and only,
sir.
Of course, Lerone.
Kipsies.
Marco Fomeco.
Yeah, yeah.
Proteus. Joe, who we can't get rid of. And me. Gentlemen, we've come to the conclusion of our show. Top 10 MMA podcast in the house. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Champions.
That's what's up.
Gentlemen.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.